This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Florida's Supreme Court unanimously voted that counties and local voters cannot expand gambling in a highly anticipated decision last week. Coming up in the second half of our show, we'll talk with a reporter who's been following the challenge of Gretna Racing and the decision last week from Florida's highest court. We'll talk with the implications of that decision and what it means for the likes of Lee County and other Florida counties who had already voted to expand slot machines. But first, Dr. Wilson Bradshaw steps down from his post as president of FGCU in just a matter of weeks. He came to a school that was undergoing exponential growth, not only in the size of the student body, but also in the number of buildings, faculty, and degrees offered. Now, after 10 years, Dr. Wilson is handing over a school with almost 15,000 students, a Division I athletic program, 200 student organizations, and a vibrant on-campus student population of almost 5,000. He joins us in the studio to talk about the FGCU he came to and the FGCU he's leaving as president. Thanks for being on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
We are talking with FGCU President Dr. Wilson Bradshaw, and he's about to retire. Do you have any questions or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, congratulations on a decade of hard work. Can you take us back to that first year? What was FGCU like?
Oh, it was a lot of activity, a lot of energy on campus, not a lot of buildings, not a lot of programs, but a lot of people who were committed to making this university a success. I remember driving on campus the first time, Joanna, my wife and I could see all the way to the other end of campus. Now we have buildings and we have the academic quad, we have new degree programs, and it's just been a privilege to be a part of this phenomenon we call FGCU.
You know, that academic quad is almost a requisite of a campus that has students that live on campus. That was pretty important for a social aspect.
Yeah, that was very important to have that feel that we were a learning community, not just a place to come and take classes. And that quad has been just exceptional in having the campus have that residential feel.
Yeah. But it wasn't originally intended to be very residential. From what I understand, what I'm reading, it seems like that was more of wanting to be a commuter campus in the very beginning back 20 years ago.
Well, we had a very visionary first president, Dr. Roy McTarnigan, and he still lives in the area. And his vision at the time was to take advantage of emerging educational technology, distance learning. And he did a fine job in articulating that vision. But after Dr. McTarnigan stepped down as president, Bill Merwin came in, and he got a different feel from the community. The community wanted what they called at the time a real university, meaning they wanted residence halls. They wanted a place for the community to come and see plays and hear concerts and have athletics. So Dr. Merwin, the late Dr. Merwin, took that vision and he ran with it. And I was really fortunate to, and when the baton was passed to me, to have an institution that had a very strong foundation and a very clear vision.
And by the time when you stepped in, it was about 50% of the entire lifespan of the college. And it was really running hard and fast, wasn't it? It was growing big.
It was. I likened it to building a jetliner while we were flying it at 30,000 feet. I've been in higher education. That's been my entire career. And what was happening and what continues to happen at FGCU is not happening anywhere else in higher education. So it's been exciting to be a part of. It's been challenging.
Well, one of the challenges came with that recession that hit us. But through that recession, FGCU continued to grow and continued to build. How did that work?
Well, we were at a stage of our evolution where it was important for the state and for donors to support our building plan. And the state came through, our donors came through. So during the recession, we were building. I mean, we weren't a perfect buffer to the downturn here in Southwest Florida, but we were getting resources from private and from private donors and from the state to continue to build out this university, and that's what we did.
That definitely had to have an impact, though, with construction since that came to a stop. At least there was some construction going on.
It was significant construction. There was a time probably around 10 or 11 where we probably had $50, $60 million worth of construction going on. And we were building a new building every year, at least one new every year since I've been here. When I got here in 07, we had 50 buildings. We now have over 90 buildings on campus.
And you said that you worked in higher education in other places, but what's different about this area, Southwest Florida? Is it those private donors that are supportive from the community?
Well, you know, one thing that's very different about this state is that it's my home state. I was born in Florida, so it makes it special in my heart. I think it was the time, and the time was right. This was the last region in the state of Florida to get a regional university, and the people in this region got behind it 200%. When you walk around our campus and you see the names on a number of our buildings, typically that would those would be the names of alums giving back. But the names you see on our buildings are people who've invested in the promise of Florida Gulf Coast University.
Did that philanthropy, did that surprise you that you that came from this community?
I don't know if I was surprised. I told you I was very gratified that the community was very responsive. They knew what the of the importance that a university, a comprehensive university, could bring to the social, cultural, and economic vitality of the region. And we're stepping up, and we're doing that better and better each year.
So we talked about the recession and the economic downturn, and up to that point, the growth was just so rapid. And as you say, building a jetliner while you're midair. But did that kind of slow down? Was that a point at which you were able to stop a little bit, take stock, and then plan for some more conservative growth going forward?
The reason that we are planning, and rightly so, for more conservative growth is more a factor of us not having any more physical space. We're just about at capacity for our laboratories and classrooms. So it's more of us reaching capacity. And our Board of Trustees, they are looking at a plan for enrollment growth between 1% and 2%. In the near term, there was a time in 08, 09, 10, 11, we're going maybe 10, 12% each year.
Yeah, 10 or 12. That's really fast
growth.
Yeah,
this year it's about maybe 1%. And we're essentially flat for the last couple of years. And unless and until we get more resources to build larger buildings, we can anticipate very modest growth for the near term.
Mm-hmm. So what does slower growth look like? I mean, will you be redirecting energies towards adding more programs or more academic?
We're looking at some new programs. I'll mention a couple in a second. But also I think that you'll see the academic profile of our freshman class is getting better and better. This the GPA for the entering class this past year was about 3.8. So I think we're going to continue to see better prepared students choosing Florida Gulf Coast University. We're beginning to see that now. We're always looking at programs that will be more responsive to the needs of Southwest Florida. This fall, our Master's in Engineering will be starting, and our Physician's Assistance Program will be starting this fall. In 07, we had no doctoral programs. Now we have doctoral programs in education, the doctorate in physical therapy, the doctorate in nursing practice. So you can see those programs really are practitioner programs and professional programs. And again, the intent is to be responsive to what this region needs at that level.
Well, it's interesting because you had the growth and then you had the student base. And now are we getting to a point where FGCU can kind of pick and choose the students that are correct for the campus?
I think that we have learned more and more about the type of students that will be successful here, and we're really targeting our recruitment for that type of student.
Is that going to be more from geographically different areas or from here locally, or is that balance going to be shifted at all?
Well, when back in 07, about 64-65% of our students came from Southwest Florida. Less than half of the students we have enrolled now are from Southwest Florida. And I think we will continue to attract more and better students, both from within this region and from outside of this region and outside of the state.
And, you know, nothing against the academic greatness of FGCU, but it's a nice place to come to school.
It is a very nice place to come to school. And everything is geared toward the expectation that learning takes place everywhere. The faculty here and the advisors, they are very committed. They understand what it takes for students to succeed. And we invest in our student success.
Mm-hmm. We are talking with Dr. Wilson Bradshaw, FGCU president, as he is about to retire. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And you mentioned briefly the PhD programs that have been added. Does that kind of – the PhD programs and the graduate studies, does that add to the credibility of a school?
I think it adds to the academic strength of our programs. And let me be really clear, our doctoral programs are professional doctoral programs. We don't have a PhD, research-related PhD yet.
Okay, explain to me what the difference is.
Well, the doctorate in physical therapy, that's a practitioner degree.
Oh, okay.
A PhD in biological sciences, that's a research-based doctoral program.
Okay, and that's what is we're lacking the research base?
Well, right now we are, but I think as we hire new faculty and they expand their research programs, I'm confident that FGCU will have a PhD, research-based PhD program in the not-too-distant future.
Do you see that going more towards medical?
I see it going, for us at least initially, I think it'll be more in the environmental sciences, water-related types of programs. Those are the things that are related to the needs of this region. So I think we'll see it in the area of water or ecological sciences or marine sciences first, and then we'll see where it branches out from there.
Geography is definitely in favor of that.
Here. Yes.
That's something that you would study here.
Absolutely.
We're not studying the polar ice caps.
Not yet.
Not here. In August of 2012, your wife, Joanne Bradshaw, Joanna, founded the Campus Food Pantry.
Yeah.
What motivated that?
Joanna, and I hope she's listening. She's in St. Augustine. I sent her a note. She's not feeling well today. But she served on the board of Harry Chapin for a number of years. In fact, she chaired that board for a number of years. And she came to understand that on other campuses throughout the country, there were students who were experiencing a food insecurity. And she saw that there was a need here. And she got behind it, and she did a tremendous job. Our campus food pantry is a valuable resource for our students, and very well supported by the faculty, staff, students, and the community.
Yeah, and you know, school is being a holistic experience. There's also the athletics, and school really went to town with Dunk City.
Yeah,
were you surprised by that?
Well. Yeah, I was surprised. I'll tell you, we have a stellar Division I athletics program. In 07, we were just transitioning to Division I. And over the last few years, it's just been a tremendous success. The big thing, of course, people continue to talk about is our run for the Sweet 16 in 2013. We still are the only 15th-seeded school to make it to the Sweet 16 in the NCAA men's tournament. We're very proud of that. We have coaches who are committed. Ken Cavanaugh is the athletic director. I hired him after I was here about 1 year, and Ken really showed us how to be a high-quality, winning Division I athletics program. And our student athletes, they perform very well in the classroom. So the Sweet 16, it brought a lot of people to our door, our front door. When they opened the door, they saw the quality that was here. And so we immediately experienced an increase in number of applications.
Yeah,
but oh, yeah. And that still is still up there now. And the D1 athletics program is just an integral part of the educational experience here at FGCU.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, that's the best advertising. It was national. Everybody saw it. And then everybody said, well, FGCU, what's that?
Yeah. And everyone knows where we are and
I know
who
my,
we are now.
My friends in Wichita, they're you live by FGCU, don't you?
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I do. I've lived here for years.
That was just a unique experience for the entire region. When I got back from the first two rounds of the NCAA, every place was Dunk City, Bonita Springs, Fort Myer, every
yep.
place. It was just a very exciting time for
us. Even Marco Island's Dunk City.
Absolutely.
I think so. And, you know, it also brought the community into the fold, too. I mean, they were committed to coming here. I've got neighbors that have season tickets.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
don't have kids in college here.
We've had strong support from the community. Our fans are just they're the best. They're very committed. And many of them – remember the days when we were not selling out ball games. So it's great to have them along, and it's great to have the new fans as well.
Yeah. So while the campus has evolved, so has the tenor of society at large, the tenor of society at large. And there have been some tense moments here on campus with the appearance of white power and white supremacy posters and racist graffiti. And in your own personal history, you were one of the first seven students to desegregate Central Junior High in West Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Do you feel that it's odd to have begun your educational journey with such a deep personal connection to a historic bending of these racist policies, to have that racism kind of bubble up again in 2017?
Oh, it's very concerning. I mean, to have some of the hateful, despicable things that have been surfacing on our campus and campuses, not just throughout the state, but throughout the country.
Yeah, across the country.
Yeah, yeah. And you're right. I was one of eight or nine African Americans to integrate Central Junior High School. But, you know, I think in order to appreciate the full gravity of that, what I tell groups that I speak to, I grew up in a segregated Florida. I went to segregated schools. I ate at segregated lunch counters. And that was part of my reality as a child. And I went through the civil rights movement, was a part of that. And to see these kinds of things crop up now is just it's disheartening. But it also underscores that the battle continues to need to be fought.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that school year in West Palm Beach?
Oh, when I was in ninth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was difficult. I went home almost every day with a headache. It was very, very difficult. And I ate at lunch tables by myself. And so while there was nine of us, we didn't all go to class together, probably none of us. As for a long time, I was the only African American in my class. I did participate in athletics. I ran track. I remember saying to myself back in ninth or tenth grade that my children would never integrate a school because it was just too emotionally trying.
It's a lot to ask of any kid, and a ninth grade is a tough year too.
Yeah, you know, my mom and others, the idea was to get a better education. The idea was to have laboratory equipment and new books. When I was at Roosevelt Junior High, before I went to Central Junior High, we had maybe three microscopes for a class of 20. When I went to Central Junior High, we all had our own microscope, and I always had new books. So I think the idea was from our parents that they were trying to do the best for us, and at the time they thought that was the best. And, you know, I mean, I didn't turn out so bad.
Well, you ended up getting a doctorate, right? And it's not an easy doctorate either. So, you know, I talked with the head of the Florida ACLU about this topic here on campus and campuses across the country. And he mentioned that the university really can't do much about the flyers because it's a freedom of speech issue. But sometimes that freedom of speech can hurt people. So I wanted to ask you, what would you like to say to students who are hurt or angered by the existence of these kinds of sentiments on campus?
I think first and foremost is that they need to be aware that those sentiments exist. And maybe they were just under the surface, number one. Number two, you have to be strong. You have to be vigilant. Our role, the administration, is to provide educational opportunities for our faculty, staff, and students to learn about the value of diversity and inclusion. And I think the good people will – I think they will prevail. But you're right. There are freedom of expression issues. And in this country, hurting someone's feelings is not against the law. It may not and it does not reflect our values here at FGCU. And I think that's what we need to proffer are the values that we embrace. And not just value statements, not just everybody do good. You know, these have to be principles that compel us to do the right thing.
And for someone like you to say, just try to be strong. It coming from you, it's not coming from someone who hasn't had to try to be strong in their life.
Yeah. I think when I talk to my contemporaries, you know, we sort of think back on when we thought those things were resolved. And again, the lesson there is it probably never will be completely resolved. That's why we have to be vigilant.
Yeah. We have a call coming in on the line from Naples. This is Matanicius. What would you like to ask?
Hi, you were close. Matanicius Sanger.
Matanicius, sorry.
I was a former ACE student at FGCU. I finished my junior and senior year of high school there. I'm wondering if Dr. Bradshaw could talk about the ACE program and what he's doing to grow it.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. The ACE program, that's an acronym for Accelerated Collegiate Experience. And it is a program offered to high-achieving juniors here within the region. And their junior and senior year, they take college courses. When they complete their senior year, they meet the requirements of for a high school diploma as well as the requirements for an associate's degree. These are very bright students that, in part, we'd like to keep here in Southwest Florida. They pay no tuition or fees for those college courses, and they get a book allowance. They also get to keep a home high school so they can participate in extracurricular activities at their high school.
Oh, wow.
And what do we plan to expand that program? I'm glad you asked that question because now we've expanded into an honors college. And the ACE program, we hope, will be a part of that. And between, I think the honors program now has about 800 students. And within the next 3 or 4 years, we plan to grow that honors college into about 1,200 students to attract some of the best and brightest students, keep them here in this region, and some from outside of the region. So I'm glad you asked about the ACE program. It's one of our signature programs.
All right. So I wanted to ask you again, we talked about it just briefly, your doctorate degree is in psychobiology. And after you take a year off, you're going to be heading back to the classroom as a faculty member here at FGCU.
Yes, yes, I will be. I'm looking forward to getting back into the classroom, and I would teach maybe 3 classes a year. Maybe not in psychology, but I'll be working that out with the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences and the Dean of the College of Education.
Well, from your life experiences, you've learned a lot about a lot of other things, such as public administration,
yes,
with the school,
yes,
and things like that.
Yeah.
But tell me a little bit about psychobiology.
Well, that's it started out, my study started out in what was then called physiological psychology. And I was looking at biological basis of behavior. And it evolved into psychobiology, and most people know it today as neuroscience. And it's really studying how the brain works to mediate different types of complex behaviors. My PhD was studying the biological basis of motivated behaviors like eating, drinking, reproduction. So it's looking at how the brain works with some peripheral systems to make these behaviors occur at the proper time.
And I'm not sure how much spare time you have had in the last, 10 years here at FGCU, but have you been able to keep up with the scientific advances?
It's been changing so fast.
I mean, because it's a rapidly changing
science. It really is. I still have a great interest in it, and I read more popular articles than I do scientific papers. In fact, about 4 weeks ago, the guy I work with at MIT during my postdoctoral research, he was in town. He was delivering a paper here at a conference, and he's writing a paper with another researcher. And I was so pleased that they're still citing my work back in the mid to late 80s.
That's so great. That's a nice affirmation.
I still got it. Yeah. Well, I had it then, and it's still recognized.
People still know that, yeah. I did have it. So when you look back at the last decade at the helm of FGCU, you've been around for about half of its history.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think are going to be some of the challenges that FGCU might face in the next 10 to 20 years?
I think how to manage growth with the resources. That's all. I mean, every year that's a challenge. And I think going forward, how to expand its research thrust. I think there's going to be a desire to do more of that. That takes time to develop because it takes you have to get the right faculty members and they have to have the right resources. So I think we'll see that maturing more in the next 5 to 10 years, and I think we'll see more revenue coming from that. I think FGCU, because of its success, will continue to enjoy the support of this very generous community on philanthropy. We just completed a campaign. The goal was $100 million. We raised $127 million for that. The campaign ends on June 30th, my last day here. So I think we'll continue to do that. It's been great the last couple of years. This year alone, we raised about $26, $27 million. Last year, we raised $33 million. So about 60% of the capital campaign, of the $100 billion campaign, we raised the last couple of years. I think we're going to continue to see that kind of support, especially if we continue to be as successful as we are with our students.
Do you have any final goals before the end of June?
Just
make it through.
Well, not just make it through, but work with our trustees to get a budget that is going to be not only balanced, but one that's going to be appropriate for next year. I've had a great opportunity to speak with Dr. Michael Martin, my successor. I believe that he is he's just going to do a superb job. I think the Board of Trustees and the Search Committee, they did a great job to attract someone of that caliber. So I'm looking forward to watching him serve this institution with this distinction. And last thing I will say, and I don't know when this is, but for those who are interested, I do believe, as I've said my entire 10 years here, that FGCU will have football. It's not a matter of if, it's when.
Really?
Yes.
That'll be great. I like football.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you one last question. You've been a big supporter of WGCU Public Media during your tenure here. Where does that support come from? Why has it been a big part of your efforts?
Well, you know, I started listening to NPR many, many years ago. I remember the fundraisers, especially for public television, where people were sitting at desks answering phones. And I early on began to appreciate the quality of their programming. And it's just been a mainstay in our house. My sons grew up with it. And when Joanna and I have an opportunity to support it, we have, and we will continue to do that.
Well, we definitely appreciate your support here at WGCU.
Thank you.
We're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank our guest, Dr. Wilson Bradshaw. Thanks so much for your years of service here at FGCU, too.
Well, thank FGCU for giving me the opportunity to serve.
All right. Well, coming up, no deal for slot machines in Lee and other Florida counties. That's after the Florida Supreme Court voted against local efforts to expand slot machines and other lucrative gambling games. We'll talk to the reporter about the small panhandle community at the heart of the decision and what it means for the rest of Florida. I'm Julie Glenn, and this is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.